All right, good evening. Good to see you guys here. Matthew 6, verse 13 tonight as we come back to the Lord's Prayer. Probably only three or four, we got a half a verse left, so three or four more sermons. But tonight we're going to look at the last request, and it's a request. I call it the request to help us fight sin or to keep us out of trouble, and that's what this is. And I hope you are getting as much out of this as I am. Because this prayer, to me, is getting more and more amazing as we go, in that it's only five verses. It's incredibly short. It's a short little prayer. It's easy for us to memorize. I think Jesus made it that way on purpose so that everybody in here probably can repeat it. And as we pray it, I'm amazed that it covers just about everything we need to pray every time we pray. So if you'll use this as an outline, and it says in verse 9, after this manner. So if you'll pray in this way and use this outline as your outline of prayer, you'll hit everything that you need. And I'm going to show you tonight that every single day we need to eat, every single day we sin, and every single day we need to fight sin. So this is a prayer to help us fight sin. So I'm going to read it to you, and I don't think I need to read it to you, because you guys, if I ask you to stand up and to quote it, you probably could. But let's read it together, starting in verse 9, a prayer to help us fight sin. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And here's our prayer tonight, and it's just a half a verse, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's our prayer. And then we close with, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is a prayer to help us fight sin. We need to do this every single day. So let's pray together and we'll study this verse. Father, I thank you for this prayer, that you've not left us to try to figure prayer out on our own, that we're not left aimless. And I've had a lot of new Christians that have come to me over the years and say, I don't know how to pray. Where do I start? What do I say? God, I'm thankful that I can come here, and there's the disciples' prayer. This is how I believe Jesus taught them to pray. This is how I believe they prayed. This is how I believe that they taught others to pray, and down through the centuries, how the church has always prayed. So God, help us to go back to this, that this is the form, this is the manner, this is the outline that we use in our prayers. Thank you, God, that it is all-encompassing, that it covers everything that we need to pray about. And God, I pray that you teach us this one tonight. I think this is as important as it can be. Teach us, God, to pray and help us fight sin. And we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1789, Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter with his most famous words in the letter. And I'm sure some of you know his most famous words. You've heard it before, but in that letter were these words. It said, In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except for two things. And you guys know what those two things are. Death and taxes. And that's true. He said that in 1789, and it's been true ever since, that you can guarantee in your life you're going to have to pay taxes and you're going to die. But I think he missed one thing that we could say is certain, and that one thing is the temptation and the reality of sin in all of our lives. There'll never be a moment in our lives where we don't have either the temptation to sin or the reality of sin in our lives. It's true of unbelievers that from the day that they are born until the day that they die, they are going to be sinning that whole time. There's going to be sin in their lives. It's true of believers. I think we all know this. And there's some sects of Christianity out there that'll teach that we can get to the point where we have the presence of sin isn't there anymore. I don't believe that at all. I believe that every single day we're going to be fighting sin for the rest of our lives. C.S. Lewis said that no one knows how bad he is until he tries really, really hard to be good. And the more you try to be good and not sin, the more you'll become aware of how much sin there is in your life. And I thought that I would get that the temptation to sin would get better in my life as I got older. And I've just found that it gets worse and worse and worse. But hopefully, if we fight sin, the actual sinning will get less and less and less. That's the way it should be. The temptation may grow in our lives all the time, but as we grow older and we pray this prayer, the actual sinning that we do should be getting less and less. But we have to learn how to fight sin. We have to learn to fight sin. And that's the last request that Jesus gives us here. And I love the way he's outlined it. I mean, I'm appreciating this prayer more and more because we prayed last week in verse 12, we prayed for forgiveness of sin. And you'll notice there that I put those two things together because it says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we're talking about forgiveness, that we need forgiveness every day because we sin every day. So we need forgiveness and we need to give forgiveness. But then he says in verse 13, and. So you need to notice these two things go hand in hand. The forgiveness of sin and the fighting of sin are two things that's going to go together for the rest of our lives. We need forgiveness every day and we must fight sin every day. There's those two things that have to go together. There's the and there. We don't want to sin anymore. So in verse 12, we're praying for forgiveness for yesterday's sins. And in verse 13, we're praying to fight tomorrow's sins. We have to have both those things. A.W. Pink said, we cannot rightly desire for God to forgive us of our sins unless we also sincerely long for the grace of God to abstain from sin in the future. We have to have both of those things. They go together. The forgiveness for yesterday's sins and the fighting of tomorrow's sins. So we're going to look at that tonight. I want to show you how to protect our souls from sin. I want to show you how to fight sin. This is a prayer to help us, everyone, to fight sin. And you must wake up every day, every morning, pray this prayer, and put up your dukes. Be ready to fight sin every day. Because every day, you're going to have it coming right at your face. So let's look at this. I only got 2 points for you. It's just really one phrase, or two phrases in verse 13. I want to show you two things. Number one, I want to show you the problem we face. Number one, the problem that we face. And then I want to show you the protection that we have. Number one, I want to show you the problem that we face. And he says in verse 13, and we're going to look at really two words here. He says, and lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. So he gives us two things there that are a problem that we will face every day, temptation and evil. Every day that you wake up, there will be temptation and there will be evil. And that word temptation has two definitions. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. I think you know what a temptation is. But the first definition, and it's used in the same way, in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So that word there isn't a temptation to sin. That's a trial and a test that you may go through. That you're going to face trials and you're going to face tests every day. These things that God will put in your pathway, that you're going to have to face, that God will, almost like Job, where God allowed him to go through some things, and it says count it all joy when you go through that. Understand that God will give us trials, God will give us tests, but God never, the next definition, tempts us to sin. So there's two definitions of that word, and we need to know that God will try us and test us, but God never will do the second thing. God never tempts us to sin. And that word temptation to sin would be, and there's all kinds of words I could use here, it's a solicitation. The word temptation means solicitation. In that there are people who come to your door and you see those signs that says no solicitors. That means that people are coming to your door asking you to buy things. They're knocking on your door. They're soliciting you. They're wanting to sell you something. And they're coming and enticing you and begging you, will you buy this? You need this? It's an attractive thing. Here, take it, take it, take it. That's what a temptation is. It's an enticement not to buy something, but it's an enticement to sin. It's a seduction. Sin is a seductress. Temptation is constantly trying to seduce you to do things that you shouldn't do. Temptation is what Bathsheba was to David as he looked onto the roof across the way, and there was Bathsheba bathing on the roof, and there was a temptation, a seducing, a solicitation for David where he wanted what he saw. A temptation is anything and everything that draws our heart or draws our mind to sin or to disobey. Think of Eve in the garden. There was a temptation there to take of the fruit that she wasn't allowed to eat. The word temptation can also be used for a fisherman. And then you guys know that I'm not much of a fisherman. I'm nothing like that picture you showed me earlier. But how would you catch something? Johnny showed me a fish, and one of my buddies from Pound was holding up the fish, and it looked like it was as tall as he was, a 5 foot, 6 foot big fish. How would you catch something like that unless you baited it? That's what temptation is. It's that there's a bait and a hook that's laid out for you, and you're just swimming through life, going through your everyday motions, and that temptation is there, and it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look like it's going to destroy you or kill you. It looks attractive. It looks like something you want, and you want to reach out for it and take it, and before you know it, you've bit into it, and it's killing you. That's what temptation is. It'll attract you, and it'll snag you. And you need to know that we are surrounded by this every single day. Everywhere we go. And it's not just temptation. We are surrounded by, watch this, he gives us another word. You need to know this. We're surrounded by this. The temptation, the snares, it's everywhere trying to entice us. And it's trying to go after our kids. Every day that my kids are turning on the TV, listening to music, playing their video games, on their phone scrolling, and it's the same thing for you. Temptation is everywhere. Amen. And not only temptation, but evil. You see that? Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Now this is clear cut. There's only one definition of this. It's things that are wicked, things that are bad, things that are corrupt. This could be evil things. This could be evil people. Evil people are everywhere. Evil things are everywhere. This could even be the evil one. I've heard it translated as deliver us from the evil one. Satan himself, the one who's throwing evil out there in front of you everywhere you go. So every day we wake up, we're surrounded by evil and temptation. And you say, what does this look like? What's the playbook here? How does Satan get us to do these things? And I think the temptation, and I'm just going to show you where it's at so you can be aware of this. Temptation is within us, in that we have this flesh that we carry around with us everywhere we go. And a lot of the temptation that we face is drawing or attracting our flesh. It's this old body. It's the cravings of our body. It's the desires of our flesh. And that's what 1 Peter 2 says. It's a fleshly craving. The 10th commandment calls it coveting, that we want something that we shouldn't want. Genesis 3 calls it the desire for the forbidden. We tend to think of it as pleasure, that our flesh desires pleasure. The flesh, and it's the same way Jesus was tempted, a temptation to pleasure, a temptation to pride, a temptation to power. That all these things are drawing at our flesh all day long. And it's a pull from within that our flesh is almost attracted. It's almost like a magnet that's drawing us in. That we want things and we desire things that are sinful and wrong. And it's pulling us towards it every single day. You have to watch out for your flesh. Paul said he beat his flesh into submission every single day. He knew his flesh. He even said, I think it's in Romans 7. We'll get there on Sunday morning and who knows when. But when we get there, Paul says, when will I be rid of this flesh? The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I should do, I don't do. When should I get rid of this flesh, this body that is constantly desiring things that it shouldn't? And all of you have it. All of us have that flesh within us. The greatest enemy that we have is within us. We need to know that. Augustine said, deliver me in his prayer. Deliver me from myself. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. We are our own worst enemy. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's not Biden. It's not Trump. It's not Hollywood. It's not music. It's not all the things that we say are the enemy. And they may be. The greatest enemy is me. We have nobody to blame for our sin but ourselves. We live in a world, and you need to see this. Why is it getting so sinful? Because we're telling people to pursue the desires of their flesh without limitation. So there's an enemy within us called the flesh. There's an enemy, get this, what I'm trying to do is set you up so that I'm showing you it's all around you, it's within you. It's everywhere you turn, this evil and this temptation, and it's a draw, and it's a pull, it's an attraction, it's pulling all the time, so that we get to the second point, you say, I need to know how to beat it. So we have an enemy within, then we have an enemy that's all around us. That's called the world. not the earth, not the globe, not the ecosystem, not the trees and the water and the mountains, but the world system. Ephesians 2 said that we used to walk according to the course of this world. James 1:27 says, keep yourself unstained by the world. Galatians 1 says, Jesus died to rescue us from this present evil age. In the Old Testament, Israel was told to separate themselves not from the world, but from the nations, which would be the same thing. That we are to be a separate people, a distinct people, a holy people, set apart from the world system. And we're living, and Jesus even said that we're living in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. This world that is around us, and I'm going to go real quickly, it's the mindset of the world, it's the spirit of the age, it's the collective mindset and the values of everything and everybody around us. It's pop culture, it's the media, it's politicians, it's the groupthink, it's the fads of our day. It's everybody is believing and pushing all the things that are wrong. We're surrounded by that, and we're going, if we're not careful, the same direction they are. And this world is constantly tempting us to do evil, to go along with them, to believe the things they believe and to do the things they do. They're constantly wanting us to be married to the world, to be defiled by the world, and to be dominated by the world system. So there's an enemy within us, and there's an enemy around us. And then there's an enemy over us. And the Bible calls it the spirit of the power of the air. As Satan himself is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now you can imagine this now. Understand. It's within us. It's almost like a magnet that's pulling us towards sin. There's a world system that is cheering for us to sin. You with me on that? So there's this desire within us. And you need to know that it's the same thing that's happening to our kids. As parents, I spend my life knowing that it's doing it to me. And if it's doing it to me, then it's doing it to my kids. They have the flesh within them that's drawing them to sin and to do evil. And then they have the world around them and their friends and their school and their teammates and their coaches and their TV shows and the music they listen to. And sometimes even the churches are cheering them on to do evil. Do it, do it, do it, do it. And their friends will say, why aren't you doing it? It's the right way and it's the right thing. So the world system is pulling at us every day. And then you have Satan who's walking around like a lion trying to devour whoever he can. I mean, what? We're facing a huge problem here. This Satan who's a tempter. Satan who's the ruler of this world. The evil one, the adversary, the slanderer. Satan and his demons. And I say this, I don't think I'm big enough for Satan himself to tempt me. But he's got some demons that may come at me. Constantly trying to get us to do evil. I read a quote this week, don't know who it was. It said, whoever has God for a friend has Satan as an enemy. So this is serious stuff. Temptation and evil all around us. It's within us. It's all around us in the world. There's Satan who's attacking too. We have it everywhere we turn. This is serious stuff. And I'm afraid that we don't take it serious enough. Because if we did, this place would be packed out tonight with people saying, how can I fight that? I mean, there'd be so many people online that they'd be busting out the system. How can I fight sin? What can I do? How can I pray that way? This is serious. But get this, another quote that I don't know who said it, but I wrote it down a long time ago. I keep a notebook of quotes. It said, we treat serious things too casually. And we treat casual things too seriously. That sin's all around us and we don't treat it serious at all. But you show up for a football game on Friday night and Saturday and treat something casual like it's the most serious thing on the planet. I watched a documentary this week on Vietnam. I shouldn't do that. I watched this stuff and I'm like, all right, this is going to end up in a sermon. But the Vietnamese during that war were masters at setting up traps. And I watched this, they were showing how they did it. And I wrote down some of the traps that they used. They used bamboo spikes. because our troops would use steel-toed boots so that they wouldn't be able to stay, and they just wouldn't get through their boots. So they would, our soldiers would step and they'd walk and they'd step in and it would go down and the spikes would come up and hit them in the ankles. And they'd be caught. They used tripwire grenades. So that you'd walk and you'd hit the tripwire and the two grenades on each side would blow up and your legs would be gone. They used arrows, tripwire arrows, so that when you stepped across another tripwire, that the arrow would be aimed at your head. And as soon as you stepped across that wire, the arrow would hit you straight in the face. They used spikes, those tripwire spikes, so that when you stepped across that tripwire, I mean, you're walking through a jungle. You're not seeing these little tripwires everywhere you go. You could step and have bamboo spikes. You could step and have grenades blow your legs off. You could step and have an arrow hitting your head. There was a tripwire that would trip and spikes would fall and hit you on top of the head. This is in Vietnam. And there was a pit where you'd be walking and fall into a pit with poisonous vipers in the pit. No wonder people that went to Vietnam come back scarred. You know what they were having to do? You understand what they were having to do? They didn't casually walk through the jungles. There was no stomping around, you know. There was no haphazardly just doing whatever you want to do. You were being very careful. This was a serious thing. One false step and you could die like that. You say, why are you telling us this? Because what we walk through in this world is more serious than what they walked through in Vietnam. The road we travel is more dangerous. The world we live in is more evil. And we need to see it this way. And when we wake up every morning, we need to pray this prayer. You see, I'm setting you up. You guys see how I did that? I wanted to show you how bad evil and temptation was so that you see the problem that we face and you get to point two and you're all on the edges of your seat saying, give us the answer. How can we navigate this world and not fall into temptation and not face the evil? What can we do? Answer here. I don't know if I set you up good enough. The protection we need. Because we need to get up every morning and pray this. If this is the world we're navigating, evil and temptation everywhere we turn, what do? We pray this prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from that evil. When we pray this, we acknowledge, first of all, our hatred for sin. We are begging God to keep us from sin. I don't want to sin. Keep me away from it. I don't take it lightly. We take it seriously. And I want to fight every single day. It's not a license to sin that we have. We want to fight sin. We want to make sure that we're putting up the best fight that we can. If we're going to go down, we're going to go down fighting. So every day you wake up and you say, I don't want to sin today. Help me today. There's a lady said to me a while back, she said, me and God have an arrangement. I love to sin, and He loves to forgive. That's not the arrangement. Amen. That's not how it works. We wake up every day, and we put up our fists, and we say, I've got to fight this with everything in me. But I know, because I'm praying, right? I'm praying, because praying is showing dependence. I hate sin, but I'm also acknowledging that I'm too weak to fight it. That's what prayer is. I can't do this. I need your help. Amen. I know my own weakness. I know, and you guys, this is me. I know my own weakness. I know my tendencies, and I don't trust myself as far as I can throw myself. I know what I'm capable of. I know I don't have the strength to fight it. I don't have the willpower. I know that I am powerless. So I have to pray every day, God, you're going to have to help me here. I know He's able. That's why we pray. I know He has the strength that I don't have. I know He has the control over the circumstances of life. So this prayer is a cry of a child to the Heavenly Father. Please keep me from sin. I compare it to this. We went out to eat on Monday for Steph's birthday, and we went to El Dorado. Oh, man, chips and salsa. Guacamole, cheese dip, oh my. And we ate, and as we were leaving, we had to walk across the street. And as we were walking across the street, I had Emma on one side and Hallie on the other. And Emma about this tall, and Hallie down here about my knee. And as we get ready to walk the street, they both of them looked up at me and done. Which means, if you're a dad, I need your help navigating this. And not one, I didn't look at down. I didn't look down at them because they were asking. That's what they were doing. And I love, you know what? Because it's been a long time since Gracie done. Couldn't tell you the last time Isaiah done. He'd have to look down at me. Christian, don't do it. But I got two little girls, and they looked up at me, and there I go. Because you know what I didn't do? They need help navigating this. Whew, school traffic. We were there at 3:30. I mean, so there's buses, honk, honk. You know, it's like a game of Frogger out there. You got two little girls with you. You know they can't navigate it. They know they can't navigate it. So they need dad to navigate it. And I didn't look at them and say, y'all are on your own. That would be a terrible father, wouldn't it? I mean, can you imagine Hallie trying to navigate that? Again, honk, honk. Hey! I didn't have them try to do it themselves. I reached down, and Emma's up here, she can tell you. I reached down and grabbed her hand. I reached down and grabbed Hallie's hand. I think I even picked Hallie up and said, you're too little, I'll do it myself. And there we go. So when we say, keep us from temptation, deliver us from evil, we're doing this. Yeah. And he ain't going to say, do it yourselves. He's going to help. So what do we say to him? I got a few minutes. We say, and lead us not into temptation. I love that. Lead us not would be, don't bring me or carry me anywhere where I'll be tempted. Prevent me. You're praying this when you pray it. When I used to pray this as an athlete for the football team, we'd all gather around, you know, the Pound Wildcats getting ready to take on, the world. Like we were getting ready to go into war, you know. We'd all gather around and we'd say the Lord's Prayer. I never thought for a second I was praying, keep me from going places I shouldn't go. That's what I'm saying. Keep me from going places I shouldn't go. Amen. Keep me from doing things I shouldn't do. Keep me from seeing stuff I shouldn't see. I don't need to see things. Keep me from saying stuff I shouldn't say. Keep me from being around people I shouldn't be around. Keep me, and this is for my kids, because I'm kind of old enough now where I'm the only influences I have in my life are the preachers I listen to. So I can get up and pray, keep me from bad influences of preachers I listen to. I've already got my circle and it ain't getting any bigger. As the older you get, the circle gets smaller. But now you got your kids and you're sitting there thinking, now, and then notice that, and I've already talked about this, but lead us not into temptation. So now I'm not only praying it for myself, but I'm praying, God, keep my kids from going places they shouldn't go. Keep my kids from seeing things they shouldn't see and doing things they shouldn't do and being around influences that they shouldn't be around. I'm going to start a series of sermons in about 2 weeks called friends. Because you tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you're going to become like. We need to make sure that we're praying this. Keep me from the bad influences in my life. I'm not going to blame those influences on my sin because deep down in my flesh it's my fault. I can't blame a soul for a thing I did. I'm the cause. I'm the blame. But bad influences can be the ones saying, hey. So keep me from that. Keep me from anything that would cause me to sin. Save me from any circumstance or any condition where I could fall. Provide, I like that, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Provide for me an escape when it does come. Give me a way out. If I do see something I shouldn't see, help me to get away from it fast. Or I go places I shouldn't go, I got to get out of that. When I'm around people I shouldn't be around, I got to say, I got to go. Keep me from going. Give me a way of escape. Direct my life. I like this. Direct my life away from any temptation. Just like I was directing my girls away from the traffic, God, will you direct my life away from sin? And then he says, I love this phrase, lead us not into temptation, so keep us from, and then deliver us from the evil. Deliver me from, I like this, I'm going to give you three more sub-points. Deliver me from this evil world system. John 17, verse 15, Jesus said, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. So would you deliver me from this evil world system? Not that I need to be taken out of it, and I need to become a monk that's living in a mountain somewhere, but deliver me from the influences of this evil, corrupt world. Amen. Or how about this one? Deliver me from my own flesh. I've already said that Paul would beat his flesh into submission. There's something about disciplining yourself to godliness. That we have to constantly be telling our flesh, no. How often do you tell your flesh no? Kids, how often do you tell your flesh no? We have to be telling our flesh no. Sometimes you just have to tell your flesh no to certain things that aren't even sinful just to let it know who's boss. So what do you mean by that? Sometimes you've got to fast for 24 hours from food. And your flesh, understand, it'll desire it. But during that time, my spirit is stronger than my flesh that says, I want to spend this praying and not eating. Discipline yourself to godliness. Amen. How about this one? This will get me in trouble, but we're just rolling. People get up on Sunday morning. That's not you guys. You guys are here on Wednesday. So I'm preaching to the choir. But on Sunday morning, you wake up and your flesh says, I'm tired. It's been a long week. I think I'm just going to, let's listen to him on Facebook. We're going to lay in bed and turn him on and really not listen to the thing he says. But it was on. Your flesh is telling you one thing, but what's your spirit telling your flesh? Who's in control there? Who's bossing who around? We have to beat our flesh into submission. Let our flesh know who's boss. We live in a world, and I've already said it, where the world never tells their flesh no. Whatever their flesh desires, do it, is what they say. It's the Nike slogan. Just do it. Whatever the flesh wants, do it. If the flesh thinks if you're a man and you think you're a woman, that's fine. Whatever your flesh says. But when I pray, deliver me from evil, I'm praying, deliver me from my own flesh. Help me subdue it. Help me to stand against temptation. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. So deliver me from the world system, deliver me from my own flesh, and deliver me from the devil. That's a good one. I'll read you a verse. I'm almost done. I'm a long-winded preacher. 1 John 5. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Who's the wicked one? It's the devil. The wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So rescue me. That's the phrase I wanted to get to. That's so that the wicked one toucheth him not. So when you pray this prayer, you're praying, God, keep the devil from touching me. Keep the devil from attacking me. Keep the demons away from me. Rescue me from him. Keep him on a leash. And Martin Luther said that the devil is God's devil. He's on his leash. So, and he said that to Job. God told the devil, you can only go this far with Job. And you can't go any further. The devil came back and said, let me go a little bit further. And God said, okay, just a little bit more leash and you can go. So we wake up in the morning, and you ought to pray this. You ought to wake up and say, God, I don't want to be like Job in that. Keep Satan as far away from me as you can. Yes. I don't want him anywhere near me. Don't let him assault me. Don't let him harass me. I can't bind Satan. Only God can bind Satan. So I don't wake up in the morning and say, Satan, I bind you. I wake up in the morning and I say, deliver me from the evil one. Keep him away from me today. Now we understand, and I don't want to get into this, but in Job, God didn't tempt Job to sin. God tested Job in his faith. So God can allow those things. But God's not going to tempt us to sin. So we wake up every morning and we say, don't let Satan assault me. Don't let Satan harass me. We are saying a whole lot when we pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I mean, that little phrase is loaded with what we need every day. So what do we do with it? I'll say this, wake up every day and pray it. I mean, just wake up every day. And I can tell you where I pray it, the place I pray it, every single day. Even with Gracie Bear. She's in the car with me, and she'll know this in the morning. We're driving to work, and about the same time, as soon as I'm passing Mountain Empire Community College every morning, what comes out of my mind is, keep me from temptation and deliver me from evil. You say, why in the world do you pray at Mountain Empire? That's just where I've always prayed it. In my routine, that's where I'm at. You pass me in the morning, I'm at Mountain Empire. You can bet Josh is praying that God would keep him from temptation and deliver him from evil.
Amen.
Pray it every single day. Make that a part of your routine. Pray it. And you'll develop, as you pray that, you'll develop a hatred for sin. You'll develop an awareness of sin. You'll start to see temptation around every corner, and you'll start to keep yourself away from it. God makes you aware, opens your eyes, and says, don't go there, don't look at that, don't see that, don't do that, don't say that. He even makes me aware in conversations where it's in my mind, ooh, I need to just be quiet there. You need that. I pray it, God, to keep me from temptation to say things I shouldn't say. From circumstances, from people. I'll run from people in Food City. Keep me away from that. It'll happen. When you start praying this, you'll start developing that hatred for sin. You'll start to see the things that you need to stay away from. And you'll start fighting sin. And you'll start winning against sin. You won't be fully triumphant, because right now we have the power over sin. The power does not control. There's no control over us now. Sin doesn't rule over us. But one day we'll be away from the very presence of sin. So as you pray this, you'll start to win more than you lose. There'll still be those days where you have to go back to verse 12 and say, forgive me. But as soon as you say, forgive me, you say, no, help me fight tomorrow. I want to read one more verse to you. Jude 24. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Yes.
To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Who's able to keep us? Not us. He's the only one that can keep us, which is why we pray this every single day. Death, taxes, and sin. And because we sin every day, the temptation will always be there. We must always pray this prayer. I hope this helps you. I mean, this is my goal, that this sermon tonight, this verse tonight, will help you fight against sin every single day. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for, again, this prayer. And I pray that you would do that for me and for everybody in this church, that you would keep us from temptation and you deliver us from evil. That's our desire. That's our hope. So God, develop that in us. We want to become increasingly holy, holier, more like Christ every day. So God, help us to fight. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.